If you'll all join me for our first scripture reading, it's Isaiah 9, 2 through 7. That can be found on page 600 in the Old Testament of your Pew Bible. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. For the throne of David and his kingdom, he will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. For this time onward, forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson in our tradition in our church is to stand if you are capable and comfortable standing during the reading of the gospel. So I invite you to stand as we listen to the virgin birth narrative from the Gospel of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in the manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The gospel in our midst, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I know some of you were hoping that I had lost my sermon. Alas. The Isaiah scripture was interesting. The people who walked in darkness, those who lived in a land of deep darkness. We reflect on that. We hear the words. We don't really think about it. We don't realize. Sometimes we worry about all of our trials and tribulations. Any of you having trials and tribulations? Does it seem like our nation's having trials and tribulations? Our world is having trials. It's just terrible. And I say that a little bit humorously, but it does seem like things are unsettled. But what you need to know is that this was at the time when Isaiah was reading this, that King Hezekiah was trying to defend his city. The Assyrians were attacking him. Attacking? Might be a bit late. Sennacherib was the king, and he was attacking any cities that refused to pay him tribute. He'd already conquered Israel, devastated, completely destroyed their cities, sacked them, burned them, murdering, killing. And so you had best pay tribute. And Hezekiah didn't want to. He had to initially, but then he began to realize that he couldn't do that in faithfulness. So there's a story of him building a tunnel to provide water into the city so that they could stand being besieged, which he did. But we don't need to go into that. We just need to recognize that he is standing here in his Christmas Eve service, although there wasn't one. But as he's reading this scripture, he's talking about they're about to be defeated by the Assyrians. The army is marching upon them and slaughtering people and killing people. Do we have it that tough? Regardless. Isaiah said the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. That's welcome news. That's good news. That's news because to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's good news coming. The King of Kings is coming into our midst. We can be prepared for this. We've been waiting all through Advent. We've lit one candle at a time every Sunday, waiting, and now it's the birth of the child. He's in our midst. Hooray! The baby's born. Tomorrow's Christmas Day, and it's all celebrating and wonderful. But you know, I read a piece. I have to defer to the Reverend Renita J. Weems of Nashville, Tennessee. I have to defer to her, but she pointed out an interesting point. You see, Mary still has to have the baby. Now, I am distinctly unqualified to give this sermon because I'm going to talk about a woman in labor. Now, I don't know, but as far as I can recall, men don't ever experience that. Have we changed any of that? Is that still the custom that women do that piece? I was present for the birth of both of my children. And it was messy. It was noisy. I did not know that Melissa's mother could speak like that. She could be a mule skinner. They had warned us in childbirth lessons that it's called transition. Is it still called that? Anybody? Did we do childbirth? Did we do child lessons? Is it still called transition? Hey, some things hang together there. So I was a little bit prepared, but I still, you know, turned a little bit gray in some places. Because it was rough. It wasn't just, for I was exhausted. And I didn't do anything, relatively. It was an amazing process. Labor is hard. And we don't want to move too far from the nativity without acknowledging Mary giving birth. Going through that process, that act of labor. When Melissa was born, and Sarah both, her two older sisters were there. Corinne was in her late teens. And Corinne experienced the same thing I did, and she said, I'm never having kids, ever, 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 ever. I thought, we should not have brought her, maybe, to this. Corinne did go off and she got married and she had a boy. And he is such a doll and so wonderful and such a blessing that she had another. Something about going through and the result seems to be worth it. That's kind of what it sounded like when she was in labor. It was up there in the, yeah, somewhere in that range. Thank you, Mike, for that help on that. Is it my lavalier? Yeah. I'll shut it off. He just wants to shut me down. That's all he's going to. All right.
We're Christians. We're called to be Christians and be about the Christian family. We've celebrated the Advent. We've traveled through hope and joy and peace and love. We've thought about faith and we've thought about the journey. We've thought about the prophets that talked about it. Now we've come to that time of the birth of the child and we can celebrate the Christ in our midst and remember that 2 millennia ago, having labor in a stable under the stars. That's okay. But as we come to our time as Christians, we might contemplate that we also are called to a little bit of labor. It isn't all just fun and games and rosy and easy and relaxed. I was in a congregation once. We had a struggle over a theological issue in the church. And one of the members says, let's just not ever talk about that and then everything will be fine. But we can't do that. And we don't do that and we don't avoid things. Jesus didn't. And we are called to be about being in the world and being about the world. And the world needs us in the world to do something. Take a look at the things that are struggles. Take a look at the divisions. Take a look at the camps that are entrenching themselves in divisions. They're not going to find a middle ground. It may be we as Christians that have to do that work. And we are able through Christ. And we are able if we're willing to accept the fact that it may be a little bit like giving birth. Would it be worth it if it brought that resolution, that peace, that unification that we need desperately? Contemplate that when you're in the midst of difficult things. Find the peace that centers you and then offer that peace to the world and be present. And if there is pain, don't react in anger and violence, but find ways for new life and new birth. So tonight, Christmas Eve, we celebrate the baby born, new life, and in his time, in his age, and as that very pivotal moment, a gift to his generation. And yet also the Savior that is a gift to all generations, to us today. So let us be the recipients of that awesome gift, of the awesome one who came down to earth, live among us as an innocent, helpless baby. And let the light of that baby be the light of us as Christians. Amen.